afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to today's session. So this is a bentgrass putting green. Bentgrass is one of the most popular used cultivars on golf courses in the transition zone. When golf course superintendents are establishing putting surfaces, bentgrass is virtually the only option they have in cool season areas. It's a well-liked cultivar because it creates a really smooth putting surface and it's relatively heat and drought resistant. And there's also been a lot of research done on this type, so they have a lot of information available to them. This is annual bluegrass, which is essentially a weed on golf courses. There are virtually nothing that you can do to control it, and it's an ever-going battle with golf course superintendents as this plant encroaches on their bentgrass putting greens. Some of them ultimately give up the battle, and they actually maintain Poa annua putting greens. The problem is, it's a winter annual weed that, unlike bentgrass, it's a weak plant. It has problems with disease. It has problems with temperature, not only in the summer, but what we're focusing on is in the winter. So this is a picture after the winter ends and the snow melts. Superintendents, this is what their putting surface looks like. You can see there's voids there where turf has died, and they have a problem because now they need to find a way to get grass so that golfers can start playing again. So this winter damage is ultimately caused by four things: desiccation and direct low temperature kill, but primarily anoxia and crown hydration. Anoxia is when the plant is covered in ice, and crown hydration is when the snow melts and the plant begins uptaking water and then temperatures freeze, ultimately causing the plant to die. Recently, in the 2013-14 and 14-15, the northeastern part of the country saw some of the worst winters for winter kill that have ever been experienced. The United States Golf Association reported in 2015 season that 80% of superintendents they surveyed ultimately dealt with winter damage. The issue at hand is that there's a very small window for superintendents to establish grass. Some of you might know every April there's a tournament called the Masters that happens in Augusta, Georgia. So this is one of the most watched golf tournaments, and it's kind of the kickoff to the season. The issue is there's golfers in, let's say, Michigan who watch this, and they want to get out and golf. The problem is, think about how cold Michigan is versus Georgia. So ultimately, it's a battle of agronomics versus golfers for golf course superintendents to have to deal with. So the solution to this is seeding creeping bentgrass. But the problem is, there's little information known on low temperatures for this bentgrass. Before, I said there was a lot of research done, but most of this is done on quality throughout the season. There's almost nothing at low temperatures that aren't optimal for growth. And more on top of that is that on the newer species that are more recently released, there's almost no data on anything. So the objective of this study is, after what we experienced in 13-14 and 14-15, is to establish a data set on differences in cultivars at low temperatures, both through total germination and daily germination, to help superintendents get the seed down and germinated, ultimately to get golfers back out and have golf courses making money as soon as possible. So for my materials and methods, I used 18 cultivars of bentgrass and seeded them to an average of 60 seeds per plate on water auger. You can see in this picture here the relative size of a bentgrass seed. It's one of the smallest seeds in turf. So then the plates were sealed and placed in incubators at 24-hour darkness at 4 temperatures. These are the 18 cultivars that I selected. It's important to note, while we're focused on the performance of newer cultivars, we had to use some older ones as a measure to see their performance. Pencross was the first released bentgrass seed, so we included that. And Pen A1 and Pen A4 were the second generation that came after. These three cultivars are some of the most widely used today, so now we have some newer ones to compare to this. Some of these seeds we had on hand, some we purchased from various companies. And last year at the Golf Industry Show, I approached Tita Green, who donated seed of their two newest cultivars, Crystal Blue Lynx and Pure Formance. So the study was done with a completely randomized design, 4 replications of each cultivar. Germinated seeds were counted and removed daily. This typically spanned 18 days from start to finish. And then incubators were re-randomized, and the study was repeated a second time. All data was analyzed with statistical analysis software on the mixed procedure. So this is what one of the plates looks like. Every day I take them out of the incubator, unwrap them, use forceps to count the germinated seeds, record the number, reseal them, and put them away. Like I said, this took 18 days, so over the course of two studies, I spent 36 days counting these seeds on 576 petri plates, totaling 34,563 of those tiny little seeds. It's been quite the semester. Despite this work, I will be going to graduate school. So there was an interaction between the first and second data set. So in the essence of time, I'm only going to present data from the first study. So this is a 25-degree study that we did. On the y-axis, we have percent germination from 0 to 100, and on the x-axis, we have the 18 cultivars that were used. You'll notice the letters above each bar. These are the letters of significance as per Fisher's protected LSD means. So any bar that has the same letter over it, there is no statistical difference in these. So at 25 degrees, overall, there's pretty good germination spanning from 35 to about 93%, with only one cultivar below 50%. Pure Select came in the top at 93%, but was not statistically different than three other cultivars. At 20, we actually see germination rise. So 20 and 25 are pretty much the optimal temperature for germination at bentgrass seeds. Here is where this starts getting cool. Pure Select and NA4 performed almost the same, but at this temperature, the top 50% all perform statistically similar. So at these temperatures, when superintendents are looking at information, they're all performing about the same. There's not a whole lot of difference going for them. At 15, we start to see a drop, but overall, we still have seven cultivars that are the same and all have germination above 70%. I will note that on all three of these so far, Villa has been coming in the lowest and T1 has been closely behind it. 10 degrees is a study we're really focused on. I talked about this tournament, the Masters, that happens in early April. Back home in Pennsylvania in State College, the first 2 weeks of April generally average 40 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit, which ranges in the 10 to 15 degrees Celsius. So this is when superintendents are really trying to seed. And as you can see, now we're suddenly seeing a lot of variation in seed. Amazingly, Pure Select and Penn A4 are still pushing, well, Pure Select up to 90, but Penn A4 is nearly reaching 80% germination, even at these low temperatures. Behind them, we have four other cultivars that are performing statistically the same and germinating well at this low temperature. And then we have five cultivars that are our lowest germinators, with Villa still being the lowest among them all. The other thing is, for superintendents, total germination doesn't tell the whole story. Not only do they want a seed that germinates in full, they want something that germinates quickly. As I said, we're in a rush to get this seed out, so time is of the essence. So this chart shows you germination by day. On the left, we still have percent germination from 0 to 100, and on the day scale, we have 10 to 18 because germination started on days 11 and 12. I like this one because, as you can see from the letters of statistics, Pure Select and Penn A4 perform the same when it comes to total germination. But Pure Select is starting to germinate a whole day ahead of Penn A4. And if you look at the peaks, Pure Select is peaking at about day 13 and leveling off, where Penn A4 doesn't start leveling off until about day 15 or 16. So overall, this is a window of about four extra days of germination that superintendents can use. So the results from this study, Pure Select and Penn A4 ultimately performed the best. Behind them was Crystal Blue Links, Pure Distinction, 007, and Pure Formance, which were also among the highest. And we have T1, Mackenzie, Focus, and Tai among the low group. I separated out Villa because it had fungal contamination that likely was the issue causing it from germinating. At 10 degrees, all of the cultivars germinated at day 11 and 12, except Penn A4 leveled off around day 13, 14, day 15, 16, and everything else around day 13 and 14. In conclusion, I said Villa has this fungus. That's what I'm getting back to when I go back to school later. I'm working on an isolation to see what exactly this organism is that has been inhibiting its growth. There were differences among cultivars, and I hope that turfgrass managers can use this information to help them seed earlier in the spring. PureSelect and Penn-A4 ultimately did the best, but it's also important to consider other factors such as price or desirable characteristics that go with each species. So I'd like to thank other members of the Turfgrass Management Lab, Penn State's College of Agricultural Sciences, and the Pennsylvania Turfgrass Council for helping with this study. Are there any questions? Mm-hmm. The second experiment, they were actually relatively similar, but they are slightly different, so I didn't want to present them together, but those cultivars were still performing at the top. Any other questions? You mean my selection of seed? Oh, well, the National Turfgrass Evaluation Program does rank that cultivar very highly for this. So, I mean, this kind of confirms that. Oh, I'm not sure what the breeder's intent was, but overall in the national programs, it does rank very well. No, that's something we haven't gotten to. I'm actually going to be replicating the study outside this upcoming semester in the spring. So hopefully with that, I could take into consideration more where the seed is coming from, what lot, the age, all of those factors when I get outside and do this. Yes? I'm sorry, what's the question? I mean, we didn't really look at that too much. The focus is really on what happened at 10 degrees. They all, for the most part, germinated pretty well at the higher, more optimal temperatures. So we didn't look so much at the interaction between temperatures, just at the low one that we're focusing on to help superintendents in the spring. Anybody else? Thank you for your time today.